Hey, I just wanted to quickly say, keep listening. After the happy hunting and before the credits, I'm going to have a promo for a new podcast project from former newbie David Bushman, the Big Bad Buffy interview podcast. So far, they did one episode with Christine Sutherland, and I hear they've teased the next one for David Fury. So check it out and listen for the promo.
You're listening to IdgetCast, Season 5, Episode 3. Free to be you and me. While trying to lead a normal life, Sam gets a visit from Lucifer telling him he's the devil's vessel and he will eventually give consent to possession. Meanwhile, Dean and Castiel interrogate the Archangel Raphael in an effort to find God.
And Sam wants a doll.
No.
Welcome back to IdgetCast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, in my living room in Duluth, Minnesota, with my lovely wife, Darcy.
Hello.
And we're also joined via the magic of the internet, down in Texas, by our two experts, John Pavlich.
Greetings.
And Annie.
Hello.
And slightly to the east, we've got our good friend and newbie, Yvette.
Hey, y'all.
And we also have special guests joining us once again, Nutty.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Yay.
Welcome to season five.
Season five. Season five is an interesting place.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, I do want to say that going over the episode list, there were a lot of episodes that I wanted to choose. So that says something about this season. I think there's a lot of really fun episodes this season. And this is the last season that I consider to be real supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Once the creator leaves, I feel like everything else is fan fiction, but I like fan fiction, so that's okay.
Sure.
Oh, I didn't realize that the creator leaves at the end of this mm-hmm. season.
Yeah, I did mention this before, that Eric Kripke, he originally had a 5-year plan for this show.
Right, and I remember you telling us that, but I don't think I realized that that meant that he went away.
Yeah, that's what that means. So at the end of season five, he as far as he was concerned, the show was over and he was done.
Story.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're almost done with the podcast then, y'all. Isn't that great?
not so much.
I'm gonna miss you guys.
Yeah. You just hold on to that. So of course, you know, Supernatural being Supernatural and doing insanely well for the network, they of course wanted like, no, let's keep going. Let's, you know, beat this dead horse and milk this cash cow for all it's worth. And so he
You're
left.
Really selling us there.
Yeah. Well, dead horse. Wow. All right.
Well,
wow,
right. So, yeah. And then there were some people in the writer's room who were promoted to showrunner and they kept going into oblivion. And
that's a story for another time, I think.
Yes, it is.
We'll discuss that later.
Eric Kripke does, like, unofficially, occasionally give consulting advice.
Story consulting.
As far as I know, I think for like a couple of seasons afterwards, but not anything concrete. Like, he doesn't write anything or. You know,
there's remnants.
Direct or something.
There's
yeah,
remnants like, for sure.
You can tell he's around, you know.
Yeah. And that is to say that, you know, like I said, I love fan fiction. And some of the best episodes are in those fan fiction years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, especially the stuff that the stuff you like, there's a couple of like really stellar things that you're going to go nuts over in those years.
Ooh, good.
So.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like it doesn't matter how big the fandom is. Like, if the show was really, really, really terrible, then people wouldn't stick around and the show would be canceled.
Yeah,
But there's a reason it's still going, because there's still a lot of good stuff in there. So we'll get there.
Well, and we get
And we do get the full 5-year plan as opposed to watching something like Dead Like Me, where Brian Fuller was on for one or two episodes.
He was on for, as I understand it, most of the first season, almost the whole first season.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until they were going into the second season that, you know, the network, you know, had all these different ideas and the writer's room was throwing stuff around. And he was just like, I don't want to do any of that. That's stupid. I'm leaving. And then, of course, we get season two, which is full of like holes and inconsistencies and a lot of like
movie
characters. And yes, and then we get the movie, which
okay, that's said about that is separate topic.
Welcome to Dead Like Me Cast.
Oh, I would love a Dead Like Me Cast.
I know someone should, but it does have its flaws as it goes on. So
I could newbie. Quick.
Yeah, you could newbie.
Yeah, I've not. Watch Dead Like Me. Wow. I've seen a couple scenes and that's about it.
Well, that would be almost worth doing it then.
If I ever want
another
podcast.
Well, we could always just ditch this one.
Oh. I don't know if everyone wants to hear you say that.
All right.
No. We have some listeners.
I know.
You just made them cry.
Well, they won't cry. We're not.
Paul, somebody had asked me, like, how many listeners we have, and I said, well, I don't actually know. I've never bothered to look into any of that. Like, I just do it for the fun of it.
Yeah,
I said you'd have to ask Paul.
Yeah, and I don't even necessarily know. I think it's Tabs, you know, the head of Quadruple Z that would really have the.
She has the analytics on that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's like up in the millions. So,
well, that's all right then.
All right, yeah, we can work with that.
You say so.
That's a nice conservative estimate, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I know everybody's talking about Serial and, you know, whatever. Those doesn't even compare.
80 million, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably right at 80 million. Yeah. I'm guessing.
You know, I think it's so popular that pretty soon Wired is going to say that you're the first IntroCast.
I know. Finally, IntroCasts have made it.
Yeah, finally, IntroCasts are a thing.
A thing, that's it, yeah.
Even though potential cast is come and gone.
Yes, I pointed that out over at the Deadpan, and T. Morris took note of it there. I think T. Morris was already working on it at that point, but
yeah, he was pretty mad about that.
Yeah,
we are referring to Wired saying that thanks to Welcome to Night Vale, fiction is happening in podcasting,
well, like,
ignoring the fact that it's been happening since 2005.
Yeah, come on.
Wow.
Yeah,
research, guys.
thanks to sci-fi and horror podcasts like Welcome to Night Vale, fiction podcasts are finally a thing.
Yeah. Well, it's about time. I can't believe it took this long for somebody to think about it. Yeah,
seriously. How come nobody did this sooner? Oh, my God.
Yeah, just like, you know. There were no audio dramas before, right? Right, Paul?
Oh, no. Nope.
There certainly haven't been very many.
Yeah. No.
Doctor Who, what's that?
Buffy Between the Lines, what?
Huh?
Crazy. All right, enough inside jokes.
Yeah, we've got an episode of Supernatural to cover.
And, yeah, for all of our 8 million fans.
Exactly.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in week after week.
80 million.
Why aren't most of you on the Facebook group page?
They don't have Facebook. They're beyond Facebook.
They're absorbed.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I believe they're probably all in the hidden group.
Oh, yes.
That I can't have access to.
Yeah, the one we can't see.
Yes.
In the spoiler group?
Yes, that's got to be where they are.
No.
That's got to be it.
That's gotta be it. I can categorically tell you it's pretty much just me and a couple other people. I checked it the other day, and there was the header image was a tumbleweed. So
I don't even think I'm in the spoiler Facebook group. Why would I? I can't talk to you guys there.
You talk to me and Annie.
Is Annie in the spoiler group?
I believe so. Are you?
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Then yes, I can talk to Annie.
There's like five of us.
All right.
Yeah. It's a party.
So we have 80 million and five.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been quite a while since Tabs has given me because occasionally she'll send out a little email saying here's the analytics for a couple of for the active podcast. So pretty much it's just us and Sue Watches.
Okay.
So, Emily and Sue with the Sue Watches Buffy, which is no longer Sue Watches Buffy, but Sue Watches Dollhouse. But
every once in a while we get an email that's somebody trying to steal us up from.
Oh yeah, yeah. We can also syndicate you and make you a
But you have to have some ads in it. We get those emails a lot.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We've got a podcast about Supernatural, and we've got an episode of Supernatural to discuss in this episode.
You're right.
That we're
I have to go to bed in like 10 minutes, so yeah.
That's gonna be a problem.
I know.
Have some more vodka.
I will.
All right. So this is Free to Be You and Me, which I was expecting something a little. I don't know.
Because I'm free, ba ba da ba ba ba. Were you expecting that?
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I for some reason.
Thank you, Darcy.
Most of the songs have gone away
really?
In my brain. Like the skits are still in my brain. The Mel Brooks and the one that's is it Carol Channing that's talking about cleaning?
Yep, Carol Channing does the cleaning one.
And the ladies first and all that. But, like, William Wants a Doll is, I think, the only song that sticks in my brain still.
I don't remember that as a song. I just remember, like, the dad talking about it or something.
Yeah,
can't remember.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a song in William Wants a Doll.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Anyways, none of that in this episode. But I do have a page and a half of my own personal notes before I ran out of time and switched to the Supernatural Wiki, folks. So we'll try to figure out where I got to paste this together. In terms of what I'm saying, we've got a smiling little girl that needs a quick good night's.
She says she's hungry.
But she's brushed her teeth. Hopefully.
Yes. You haven't brushed your teeth.
Did you have dessert? Did I give you dessert?
There's apple on the counter.
Oh yes, yeah. I gave you dessert. You can have an apple if you want.
You can have a nice crispy
apple.
They're really good, honey crisps.
Go for the ones in the bag, not the ones on top of the microwave.
Yeah,
okay?
Go to the ones by the fridge.
By the fridge in the bag.
Okay.
They're the good ones.
Take it upstairs though, because it's really crunchy.
Yeah, it's very crunchy and very loud.
And then make sure you put the core in the trash,
not in your bed.
Not in your bed.
Not in the corner.
Not in the corner. Don't hide it under the bed.
No.
Don't feed it to the dog.
Or the cat.
Just oh, God, don't do that.
Put it in the trash, okay?
Okay, and then brush your teeth.
All of this needs to make it to the podcast. This is awesome.
Parenting 101.
I was babysitting my nephew over the weekend, and we'd all just gone shopping, and my sister was sitting there feeding the dog grapes, and I was like, what are you doing? I was like, he should not be eating that. She's like, really? What? No. And she looked it up, and sure enough, they're like, grapes are poisonous to dogs,
wow.
Especially raisins.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said, yeah, raisins are grapes. And she started freaking out. And I said, well, he's a really big dog. So, you've only given him a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be fine. But just like, I wouldn't do it anymore.
Probably not a good plan.
The previous dog before we had children, we were at a campsite.
Oh.
And everybody was drinking. We were drinking. We were the sensible drunk people. The not sensible drunk people were feeding raw potatoes and carrots to the dog.
And beer.
Oh,
they're
God.
Also giving her
and
a
beer.
Bunch of beer.
And beer, of course.
Yeah, right.
So she was drunk and full of chunks of vegetable matter that she couldn't possibly digest. And it all came back.
Yeah.
Was it in the tent or near the tent?
It was outside.
Outside the tent, luckily.
It was
luckily.
Fine.
Yes.
I buried that crap with some mud.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
fine.
Yes.
The thing that cracks me up, dogs, and I'm speaking of one in particular, can eat light bulbs, but don't let them have, like grapes.
Yeah, I had dogs that ate aluminum cans, soda cans. So.
Oh yeah, no. Elvis would eat the entire light bulb, everything in the light bulb.
Yeah.
Never had a problem.
We had a greyhound.
Including the stuff on the inside that would send a normal person to the hospital.
Oh. And she, one time. As I used to do, I was in dance classes when I was in high school. I'd wash out my tights and my leotards and hang them up to dry in the bathroom. And I'd done that, and I came back. I was going to pick them up. They're just gone. And I was like, I yelled at my sister, what'd you do with these? She's like, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. And then we also noticed that we were out of soap.
Yeah, bar soap.
Bar soap was gone. And it, we figured out that the Greyhound had eaten a bar of soap and leotard and the tights. So two pairs of tights, a leotard, and a bar of soap.
Your Greyhound was doing laundry.
She was,
and he was fine.
You know what? No, she was not fine, actually.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
She lost half of her intestines, but she.
Oh
she
no!
Lived. Oh my god!
She lived.
Yeah, she knows she survived a long time.
She did. She ate a lot of rice and kaopectate for the rest of her life.
Yeah, I remember that. She was never our dog, but I remember that.
No, she was a good dog, but I remember.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. I love
did the tangent bell move with you guys?
It's around. We don't know where it is.
Oh no!
Clearly, you don't.
We're doomed.
However, this should not
I have,
be. A,
I have an hourglass. Is that
how do we get anything done?
It's an egg timer. That's not an hourglass. But this should not be taken as a sign that we don't want to get into this episode.
No, it was a great episode.
I've got. So I've got notes I've got notes, and then after that we'll segue into Supernatural Wiki's stuff. After that,
yeah.
So in the Great Plains Motel, Sam is startled by a vision of Jessica, who questions his running away, that sooner or later those closest to him will die, and it's never going to change. Just as he's ready to roll a tear, she vanishes.
Okay, so first of all, we have Sam shirtless in bed. That's fine. was that the same actress from before?
Yes, it's Adrian Palicki, but her hair is a little darker, so.
Okay, cool.
It's not the platinum blonde Jess we knew before.
We haven't really seen her in that many episodes, right?
She was in
not that many.
Yeah,
Because I was like, she's familiar, but I don't know if she's actually the same actress, and I didn't want to look it up to avoid spoilers. So good.
I believe it by this time she's probably off doing Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
Yes, it's so hard to figure out what's contemporary to various seasons of this show, because it's been on for so long, and it's hard to picture exactly what year it is.
Well, they do a pretty good job of keeping it general, don't they?
Well, I know. I mean, I can't tell. You know, period-wise, I'm not seeing too much that's... I think Sam's got a BlackBerry, and I noticed that, but beyond that...
BlackBerry.
Beyond that, I don't really... it's pretty much, now-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't really ever give you an indication of what the exact year is.
Yes. But I'm just in terms of the real world around the series, I couldn't tell you what was broadcasting when this episode aired, because I don't really know when this episode aired per se. And
yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right.
So that's the cold open. But then 1 week earlier, I don't know why it had to be why we had to go back. I guess. Him arriving at the Great Plains Motel, I suppose, happened before that scene. Yeah. But I don't.
It was a weird thing.
Why that scene had to be isolated from everything else as a flash forward or whatever doesn't make enough sense to me. It could have happened anywhere during that episode and not meant any different to me.
Mm-hmm. Or it could have even just happened before he arrived at the town that he went to, and it wouldn't have changed anything.
About the only thing, not that he cared about the girl at the bar, but she was at risk, and then Jessica, after that, saying, everybody that you love are gonna die or get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
It's sort of, but I mean, he barely knew. So
I think that the new intro looks like a Nine Inch Nails video.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Oh, I don't know. I love Nine Inch Nails.
I think you're right. That's why I laugh so hard.
just as long as we're clear.
And there's voices whispering things. I can't even tell. I'm not sure if they're whispering anything that could be intelligible.
No, it's the same sound that we've always had. It's just it's the visuals that are always different each season.
I thought the sound cues were slightly different every time.
Well, I mean, they'll add something here and there to go along with the new visuals.
Okay.
But the basic underlying sound of that little that gargly, whispery, screechy thing, like that's
All right.
That stays pretty consistent.
Cool. I'm sure there's a supercut of all of them later on that we can't watch yet because it will get spoiled on all of the
I believe people have made compilations on YouTube, but yeah, you can't see them all.
I hope that it's a different title card every single season all the way on through.
It is.
I hope it gets more and more like Nine Inch Nails. Like at some point, it's like just straight up the closer video.
Yeah, the closer
video. I can tell you that there are even individual episodes that get their own title card because we have had those before. Remember, if you remember A Very Supernatural Christmas.
Yeah, okay. I remember that being different. But yeah, okay.
Cool.
So to the tune of Lynyrd Skynyrd Simple Man, we see a montage, Sam arriving at the Great Plains in Garber, Oklahoma, and Dean going into a hospital in Greeley, Pennsylvania.
Okay, so I just wanted to say thank you for saying what that song was, because I have in my notes, I hate whatever this song is. So by you telling me it's Lynyrd Skynyrd, it now makes perfect sense. Thank you.
And I have to confess that while I heard it on classic rock heavy rotation while working at a semi-manufacturing job for years, I couldn't have named the artist.
It was really horrible.
I had to Google Simple Kind of Man to find out that it was definitely called Simple Man. But anyways, Sam is burning his false IDs while Dean uses one as Bill Buckner, which is apparently once he's off by himself, Sam must be the one that's coming up with all of the aliases that are rock musicians, because Bill Buckner is not a rock musician.
But do we know who Bill Buckner is?
He is a baseball player who played most famously with the Boston Red Sox. And in 1986 specifically, there's a play in 1986 that he's most well known for flubbing a play.
Yeah, and if like a lot of Bostonians are very touchy about that, and so like, you know, you run into the wrong person who like says, you know, the anything disparaging about that, and Billy Buckner specifically, and you're going to get punched.
Wow, intense.
Yeah, basically it was the World Series, and you know, the Red Sox for a long time until very recently had a curse going. They said it was the curse of the Bambino, Babe Ruth's curse, and this was like further proof of it. And Bill Buckner was the butt of the whole thing, because basically there was a play at first base at the end of game 6 of the World Series against the Mets, and the ball just basically trickled through his legs, like, you know, it was, should have been a standard play, a normal play, and he missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mets won the game and then won the series in the next game.
Yeah, I got to go see the Red Sox at Fenway the next year.
In the 87?
Yeah.
Well, that was the year the Twins won the series, so.
Yeah, I know.
It was.
I remember.
The Twins won the series that year.
I was not happy.
In 87.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they won.
Shut up.
Yeah, the Twins.
The Twins suck. You know that.
Oh, this year they definitely suck.
I love this.
Sam is working as a busboy while Dean beheads a vampire. And
have we had vampires on this show before? I can't remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a whole episode.
When did we have vampires, y'all? What did they do?
Well,
we've had at least one episode each season.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say the original episode with the Colts was the vampire episode of that.
Yeah.
Of that.
Remember
season.
Gordon?
No.
And the thing about the thing about those vampires is, I believe they were saying at the time, oh, I think this is the last nest of vampires are extinct. There's no more vampires. I'm surprised that these vampires are still around. I seem to remember that from that episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember any of that.
And then we had the episode where Mercedes McNabb was playing a vampire.
Yes, mm-hmm. You're right. Got it. Thank you.
Amber,
yes.
Benson.
Amber Benson. Amber Benson also
right.
was
a vampire. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Sam didn't kill. It was Amber Benson's right character.
Uh huh.
And that's why what's his face wanted to kill Sam.
Gordon.
Yep.
Yeah. Gordon was the black guy who eventually became a vampire.
He
was awesome.
Were there vampires in Superior, Minnesota? I mean, Wisconsin?
Duluth?
No, I think there was something. Wasn't that a vampire one?
No, that was not a vampire one. That was Sam being possessed.
Sam being possessed. Okay.
Yeah, when it was the Duluth one.
I get so confused.
Well, yeah.
Y'all, I want more vampires. I really like vampires.
Why? You wouldn't remember them anyway.
Can't I enjoy them in the moment, John? I'm sorry that I like to, you know, watch something and then forget about it immediately afterwards.
We have really crammed a lot in a short period of time. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
It's true.
Okay. I'll just say vampires are like Daleks, and we'll move on.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. That I see your analogy.
And good job.
Exsanguinate.
Dean is surprised by Castiel in his motel room. Castiel did not know that Sam was separated from Dean, which is a sort of a footnote. He doesn't react much to it. It's not like
my note in the scene is just kiss, 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 just over and over again. There's so much sexual tension between these two.
Castiel has not found God, mm-hmm. but has a lead on Raphael, the archangel who smote him previously.
Smote.
Yeah,
smote.
He didn't say smote, but I did. Gosh darn it. If someone can say smote, I'm going to do it.
Okay. Say it.
All right. Castiel wants Dean's help to trap and interrogate Raphael. As Michael's vessel, Dean is untouchable. And more importantly, Dean is the only one who seems, it seems, as Castiel says, Dean is the only one who will help him. Not just the only one who can, but the only one who will.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that Sam is now going by the name Keith. The waitress where he works is nosy because he finished the Saturday Times crossword in the kitchen. So why is he just a busboy in Oklahoma? She bets him a game of darts that he'll have
y'all, to... but no, sorry. But, like, seriously, like, that's, like, the lowest bar for, like, somebody being highly educated that you
thank
can finish
you.
A
puzzle. I have been thinking about this all week, by the way. It's like, oh, you finished the crossword puzzle. That was the New York Times crossword puzzle. Yeah, okay. So, move on. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not that
good at crosswords.
Difficult.
It's not like, yeah. like, it's not like... You should then conjure a conspiracy in your mind that, like, I'm some sort of, you know, Good Will Hunting type who, like, it's
well,
like, come on.
And even if, okay, you're so intelligent, you know all this information, because that's all crossword puzzles are, by the way. It's, can you guess this information, this reference based on this basic clue?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you have job skills.
No.
Yeah, and it certainly doesn't mean that you, like, went to school. Because, like, I feel like she specifically is like, you must be highly educated.
But you guys, I'm really, really good at crosswords. How come I can't get a job?
Yeah, like, this is not how you plan for a career. Crossword puzzles? No. Just this is how you wind down.
Just because you can outsmart Will Shorts doesn't mean.
Yes.
Okay.
How many of you guys suspected that this chick was, like, not on the level?
Oh yeah, I put in my notes. I think that she was either a demon or an angel or something.
Yeah. She was just way too damn nosy. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was. She needed to shut up and back off.
Okay. Yeah, so nosy.
I'd be like, oh, like, that's nice that you apparently find me attractive enough to ask me 20 questions, but you're creeping me out and making me uncomfortable. If the genders were reversed, like, I would be in handcuffs right now. So please go away.
Good point.
Is the waitress Chastity or Lindsay?
Lindsay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chastity.
The hooker stripper was yeah. Chastity.
Harlan.
Okay, well, I got something for that. But I guess in a deleted scene, Sam and Lindsay have sex.
So
that explains
I'm
Jessica showing up a lot
yeah.
more.
I'm glad they cut that out.
Yeah, it's good that they cut it out, but I can see how that would make the Jessica thing more sense. Because as it stands, it's like, well, it's that nosy waitress who's, you know, in recovery and therefore thinks that you should be buddies or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't as clear that way. She bets him a game of darts that he'll have to take her to dinner and tell her his life's story. But three bullseyes in a row means Sam wins. Then he sees a news report about a hailstorm that became a wildfire.
Sorry. By the way, that's not how you play darts. It's not about getting the bullseye. You have to get the right amount of points, and you have to go around the the thing.
Oh, I know.
That'd be like sinking the eight ball at the beginning of your game of pool.
Well, you know, I mean,
which I have seen some TV shows do that and call that a game. Like, I win. Yeah,
like, no, you just lost.
Yeah.
Well, bull's eyes are closed out, and now you got to move on to the rest of them.
Yeah. Sorry, it's just like the crossword. It's like what?
Yeah.
But then he sees a news report on a hailstorm that became a wildfire. More on that later. Although the bartender appears to believe that it may be the end of the world.
End of days, end of days!
Dean and Cass talk to a sheriff's deputy who saw Raphael. While Cass wants to be direct and truthful, Dean insists they should be undercover. And speaking of undercover, we've got aliases again. And once again, not rock musicians. Dean is Alonzo Mosley and Cass is Eddie Moscone, which are characters from Midnight Run. Alonzo Mosley is the FBI character from Midnight Run, the movie, and Eddie Moscone is the bail bondsman played by Joey Pantoliano.
Yes.
Yeah, Joey Pants.
Joey Pants.
Joey Pants.
It's a lot easier to say. Everybody knows.
That's all you gotta say. All right. And, Midnight Run reference. The deputy witnessed a riot at a convenience store, and Cass helpfully interjects that it's angels and demons skirmishing. But Dean interrupts. And that's the end of my notes. My notes, which are terribly more detailed than the notes that we're going to be having from here on out, but it saves some time.
Those were good notes.
Oh, thank you. I try to do the notes every time, but I all in one day I was trying to do the notes and release the episode this week, so... So we got When the Levee Breaks released, and then I did some notes. But I ran out of time, so here we are with the SupernaturalWiki.com notes. Castiel and Dean arrive at the police station in Waterville, Maine to get information about the location of Raphael's vessel from an officer who witnessed a battle between Raphael and some demons. Despite Castiel's inexperience at undercover work, they find out the whereabouts of Raphael's vessel, St. Pete's Hospital, where they find the former vessel apparently brain damaged. After hosting the Archangel.
Okay, so when they meet with the cop, how cute is Castiel?
It is pretty cute that he has like no idea what he's doing.
the upside down license, which by the way, I'm kind of impressed that Dean already had a fake FBI ID and everything all set up for Cass.
They don't mess with
him. Yeah, like I'm imagining him at like Kinko's or something, like printing that up.
Just in case.
Getting a passport photo and then... And taking that and whatever.
Yeah. But I think that the reason I selected this episode is all of the Castiel
and Dean
trying to do the detective work and Dean. And it's just so cute. And so in my memory, that's all the episode was.
And the mischief in between as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the one where, you know. Cass is trying to hunt with him. Awesome. I love that show.
The only time I've ever seen him look utterly terrified, I think.
He does. He looks so scared.
I thought it was interesting where they were like, where Dean was like, so if I let Michael in, this is what I'll be like. And Castiel was like, oh no, for you, it would be much worse.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty cool. I also did like the Kolchak reference.
Yes, the Kolchak reference was awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
Long before the aborted reboot.
Yeah. Which I actually kind of liked the reboot.
I never really watched it, although it was pretty much just I missed it and it disappeared pretty quickly.
It did, yeah. I thought it was rather well done. Had music by Philip Glass.
Oh. But I got to appreciate the original.
Oh, sure.
But I do feel bad for Raphael's vessel, you know.
Oh, totally.
What it did to him. And it makes you wonder what would Jimmy be like, you know. The more that Cass goes through, the worse it is on Jimmy.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I definitely thought about Jimmy, like, when I first saw him, like, appear back on the stage. I was like, oh, man, that's right. That's not even his body or anything.
Jimmy's dead, isn't he?
Yeah, Jimmy's theoretically permanently dead at this point. I don't... In theory, we're never going to see Jimmy again.
Yeah, he died.
I'm hoping to see Jimmy again. I'm hoping to see plenty of Jimmy again, but in theory, he's done.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
And we'll just be quiet.
After all, Jimmy's been destroyed too. I mean, Jimmy's molar was in Chuck's hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, anyway.
But if you notice, when the demons destroy a vessel and they come back, they don't come back looking the same.
Yeah, I know.
So this isn't the same as when demons are in a vessel.
Of course.
Oh.
All right. Back at an abandoned house, Castiel brings a very rare type of holy oil from Jerusalem, in which they can trap the archangel, and reveals he doesn't expect to live after trapping Raphael. A few hunters walk into the bar, calling Sam by his real name and talking about hunting. Sam quickly covers the slip to Lindsay and calls them away to a table. They tell Sam that Bobby called them, saying in the town there's a demon crisis, and Sam says that he's out.
Okay, so I have to admit, the entire Sam subplot with, like, these people coming to see him and then the waitress getting trapped and all of that was so confusing to me. Like, I really did not get what was going on. So y'all might have to explain it.
And I was like, did we ever see any of these guys before? Or are we just supposed to say, oh, these guys are hunters?
Yeah, they're just hunters.
Okay.
What was the point of them being there?
Well, they were Sam's old life intruding on what he's attempting to do, trying to get away.
Well, do you remember earlier in the episode when Sam had called Bobby to let him know about
the hailstorm,
something that was going on nearby,
the hailstorm that turned into
and he was like, you know, maybe you can get some guys on it, and Bobby was like yelled at him and was like, you're the person I would call for this sort of thing. Well, those are the guys that Bobby eventually reached out to. And so they decided to track Sam down and try to get his help.
Okay.
By the way, you can get holy oil from Jerusalem for about $8. Just saying.
All right.
You can order it online.
In case any of us need that. Too much.
Yeah, if we need to summon an archangel, it's totally doable.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Good to know. Good to know. eBay or something.
Craigslist.
Meanwhile, Castiel and Dean are at a brothel after Dean finds out that Castiel is still a virgin.
Oh, y'all, so this part of the episode, I hated it so much. Like, it just turned into, like, weird, like, fratty comedy. I just hated it.
Yeah. I felt really uncomfortable for Castiel because he was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I feel like it was kind of set up like one of those frat comedy things, whatever. And I like that it didn't go that way, you know, like that Cass was still just Cass.
The payoff for it was great.
Yeah.
It was getting there that was a little,
it was
a little squirmy, you know.
It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Darcy's not here right now. I'd like to probably get her opinion too. So we'll take a pause here. She's okay. Getting the girl back to bed. I haven't talked to her about it at all. So I want to find out what Darcy thinks about this particular section.
Right.
Is Annie still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're quiet tonight.
I am. Sorry.
Did you have thoughts on this? She's doing the crossword, that's why.
No, it's just my local event was Sunday, and I'm still kind of recuperating.
Coming down. Yeah, that was actually the first one that I didn't go to in like 7 years.
I know. I was shocked when you said you weren't going to make it.
Yeah.
So Annie, is that
we can talk about that later, but yeah.
Yeah.
Is that when you do it's like screenings of a movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we show Serenity. And
okay.
Horrible.
For charity.
Fun.
It's a lot of fun, but for the volunteers, it was about a 13-hour day.
Oh, man.
Believe it. Yeah. I've been to a couple. They're a lot of fun, especially you know, like you end up just meeting geeks that you never knew were in the area, which is just kind of fun for somebody that's maybe not that outgoing, that mm-hmm. suddenly I'm surrounded by people that all share a common interest, so it's easier. But I actually threw one myself because there wasn't any in my area. And so I just invited a whole mess of people to my house, and then we donated online, and it was so much fun. But I did it the last year that I lived there, and then I moved to areas that had them, and for a couple of years after, they kept emailing me, "Are you going to throw another one?" I'm like, "No, that was a one-time thing."
That's actually a really cool idea.
Lot of fun, and I made like all Firefly themed food and everything, and awesome. And people came in costumes, and yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Did you make authentic Mudder's milk?
No, I did not make Mudder's milk because I remember that episode of Slice of Sci-Fi, and I never want to go through that. So,
indeed.
But we did have some nice fresh strawberries dipped in chocolate. That was my favorite treat that I made.
It's funny because I found out at a panel, like people bring Jewel State strawberries all the time, and she actually doesn't like strawberries.
So like, that's I don't good like them. Acting.
Yeah, she's like, bring me a burger for crying out loud.
Let Mike and Evo take the Mudder's milk for the team.
Exactly.
Hey, we took a time out while you were taking the girl upstairs because I wanted to make sure you got your opinions heard on the brothel scene.
It was funny.
It was fun for you?
Yeah.
Not uncomfortable.
You weren't uncomfortable?
No, because it's just pretend.
It was just, because it was all just pretend.
Okay. See, so if something makes me uncomfortable and I can convince myself it's just pretend, I'm all good.
I don't know why Dean thought that Castiel would be anything but a virgin.
I know. Like, who is he going to sleep with?
It's funny because he asks him, like, you know, did you sleep with some angels at least? And it's dude, what do you think goes on up there? Like, what do you... What do you think they do? I guess that would be Dean's idea of heaven.
Heaven, you know? Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dean, Cass didn't seem shocked by the idea. Like, it didn't seem to surprise him in any way. So,
well, I don't think my take on that is
it does happen.
Yeah. I don't think he was upset by it. I think it's like, you know, angels are genderless.
Yeah.
So, the idea of sex, it's a very earth thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, like, I'm sure to Cass.
And it's supposed to be
just another activity.
And, you know, for them, it's meant as a thing of procreation. So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, what are they going to produce more angels by? Like, how does that work?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's like a fixed amount of angels.
Yeah.
Right?
So finite a number of angels, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They just sit around an angel all day, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that they can reproduce. I think they have to be like made by God, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's only the one, and he's I don't know, somewhere.
Yeah.
Every day, I'm angel. And
later on in this later on this episode, he's apparently possibly nowhere, or maybe he's just down at the boardwalk playing skee ball.
Yes, that's what I thought when I first watched this. By the way, I was like, he's playing skee ball. Have you checked everybody in a coma?
Yes.
Yep. Down to Jersey. Look
for Bud Clark. Yeah. If he's in a coma, yeah. Then you're good.
Just got to wake him up.
So anyways, Dean arranges for nervous Castiel to go to a room in the back with one of the girls. While Dean is flirting with another lady, he hears a scream from the back. Dean goes to the back and finds Castiel trench coat and suit still on, but tie askew. And the girl, nearly hysterical, hightailing it. Dean asks what happened, and Castiel explains that he only looked the girl in the eyes and tried to comfort her by telling her it wasn't her fault, that her father, Gene, ran off. It was because he hated his job at the post office. Oh, restart.
Yep.
Sorry, I thought I was on mute.
You were not. So, fun fact about myself. The stripper/hooker, her name is Chastity.
Uh-huh.
And Dean takes Castiel there to get laid. Right. I actually lost my virginity to a girl named Chastity.
Oh, dear.
Funnily enough.
Oh, wow.
And Darcy's missing this right now because she's going to
scold the children. Oh, she left again?
She's scolding the children.
Well, the actress that played Chastity, she played Lust in the season 3 episode, The Magnificent Seven.
Oh, okay. She was one of the seven deadly.
I thought I recognized her.
So it's kind of fitting that she's supposed to be the one that takes Cass's virginity.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, you know, little tidbit about me. All it was very pleasant.
As soon as he said, well, I just looked her in the eyes, he didn't have to finish the sentence. If an angel's looking you in the eyes, it's going to be upsetting. Yeah. I mean, what is it? Like every Bible story where there is an angel, it's always, no, don't be afraid.
Yeah. It's like, why do you have to tell me that every time?
Because they're afraid every time.
That's right. Good reason.
Yes. Not everyone is Dean. You can't look all humans in the eye.
Right.
And I still think it's silly to bring Cass to a brothel to lose his virginity, because clearly he wants to lose his virginity with Dean.
Yeah, thank you. Well, that's probably what happened right afterwards. You know,
is that your fan fiction? Did you write it yet?
Exactly. Oh, what a good idea. I should start writing fan fiction for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, just reading it aloud. That sounds like a great idea.
Next time, you know, at the end of the episode, they are in the car together, and Dean asks him if he's okay.
Oh, okay. I'm going to start from there. I'll have it ready for next time.
Awesome. Remember, this is going to be so good.
No, aren't we PG?
Are we?
Don't worry.
I don't think so.
It could be PG porn, right?
Oh, dear.
A little gun action there.
Oh dear.
So a little bit about myself here.
He fixes the cable.
My minor in college was creative writing, so you know, just watch out. This fan fiction is going to be off the chain.
Oh, now I'm excited.
Yeah, it's really good.
Y'all. The writer in me is really, really excited.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to write that, but you know, I'll try.
It would be so good.
You're right. It probably would be.
Dean grabs Castiel as bouncers come toward them and gets them out of there. As they get in the car, he claims he hasn't laughed that much in a very long time. And
that was a great little
Joshua, go ahead.
Just a great little character moment for him there, when, you know, the sort of come down bummed look on his face when he realizes what he just said and that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Dean points out that, not to steal anybody's quote, but absent fathers are the foundation of the business.
Yeah, sleazy.
Which makes everybody happier to think about, right?
Well, there's this, I think his name was Lazy Boy. And I don't know if I'd call him a musician or a stand-up artist or whatever. And he had this thing, and it's like... everybody's free to wear their underpants, or underpants go outside the pants or something like that. I forget. Anyway, it's this whole spoken word piece. And he talks about how, forget it. I'm trying to explain it. And the way, as I'm getting into it, I'm like, wow, this is just going to take way too long to explain. And it's not going to be that interesting. So just forget.
Audience, enjoy being tortured.
Basically, he talks about how if everyone had good self-esteem, there would be no porn industry, because it takes a lot of missed recitals to get you to want to do things with a donkey on the internet.
There you go.
Well, we're talking about that kind of porn.
We're talking about donkey porn, of course. Wild ass. Sorry. That is a separate in-joke.
I was watching, you know, my kids and I, a lot of times I'll just put like Nat Geo Wild on, you know, with the kids. One night, actually I think Paul and Iris were out doing something, and Fox and I were sitting watching it, and they were going through like all of these creatures of the savannah, and then, you know, they start talking about these little ponies, And he's like, yes, that's right. The wild ass. and Fox and I look at each other. We're dying. We fall on the floor. It's just so funny. And then they start to talk about the female wild ass. And I'm like, oh, Fox, we're in so much trouble.
Fox is only 10.
I know, but he thought it was really funny. So, and you saw him picking up on girls on the bus this morning.
Oh, I know. He was totally macking on those girls at the bus. So,
oh, Fox.
I know. We're in trouble.
Meanwhile, Sam and Lindsay are enjoying a meal. Apparently, we missed the scene where he finally conceded that he would go out. Okay, enough. Let's go. We'll have a meal.
Yeah.
Sam and Lindsay are enjoying a meal, and Lindsay starts asking Sam about himself. Sam opens up just enough to vaguely tell Lindsay that he used to be in business with his brother, but he made some mistakes and got people hurt. Lindsay asks what his addiction was, pulling out her sobriety coin and assuring him that no one has ever been so bad they can't be forgiven, that they can't change.
She's so nosy. Like, at this point, I was convinced she must be an angel, because, like, why else would you be, like, this nosy?
She's just really into the program, apparently.
Well,
apparently,
it's not only the program, it's the small town. That totally does it.
Yeah, small town, and I see that you might be in recovery, and I know of them recovery, so hey, let's be in recovery together.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know anything about recovery, so really.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like an addict can recognize an addict.
Yeah, I've heard
that. And you can recognize when someone's not dealing, but kind of hiding from the problem. Mm-hmm. So I can see that, but she was just way too into it. I mean, that to me was like, oh yeah, you're totally an addict, but you're really hot, so I'm just going to keep pushing this.
Yeah, I know. She didn't come off as someone who was like, I recognize that you might be in trouble.
Like genuine concern. Yeah. Like, it felt more like an ulterior motive kind of thing. Like,
yeah. If it were a guy doing it to a girl,
exactly.
It would be so gross. Everybody would just say how gross it is.
That's what I said earlier. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's just no. Like, this is not okay.
Yeah, no, she's gross. Like, she's so pushy and overbearing. Like, what a turnoff. Like, nobody likes that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I love strong women, and I love women that make the first move. But there's a difference between that and you keep pushing me away, but I'm gonna wear you down. Yeah. Like,
it's about like unwanted aggression that's the problem.
I have literally been in the situation where I have said, shut up, back off. And that's what Sam needs to tell her.
And it's just because the tables are turned.
Exactly. But no, it's entirely the same thing.
I went to a strip club once, and I don't think I'll ever go back, because like, for most of the night, like, it was totally fine, but there was this one girl towards the end of the night, and because it was the end of the night, she was like really desperate, and desperation is never sexy. And she like sat on my lap and was like asking me if I wanted to dance, and I was trying to be as polite as possible, like, no, I think we're gonna leave anyway and everything. And she like grabbed my junk, and I was like, I was so uncomfortable. Like I did not give you permission to do that. Like, this is,
that's wrong. Gross. You don't do that to anyone.
No.
Exactly.
What?
Yep.
And she did it like a selling point. Like, it was something like obviously, I guess there were guys that like that sort of thing, but it's like you said, like,
read the crowd.
Being sort of like direct and confident is one thing, but when you're just like grabbing on somebody like that, you won't take no for an answer. Like, because it's like this is not gonna help your case. This is just gonna make me want to say no even more, because you're like gross now. Like, you're creeping me out.
Mm-hmm. That's nasty. Just really nasty.
Back in Maine, Castiel and Dean are at St. Pete's in the vessel's room. Castiel, pouring a circle around the man, explains that when the holy oil burns, it acts like a steel cage trapping the angel. He also explains the connection between angel and vessel is kind of like a phone line. If one knows the right number, it can be used to bring the archangel to them. But it doesn't appear to work. They apparently spend all day just waiting for something to happen, and nothing ever does. I summarize that because we're moving on to the next scene already in the summary here.
Yeah.
When Dean and Castiel get back to the house, Raphael is standing there. Dean tells Raphael they knew he was coming and lights the circle of holy oil the angel, Archangel is standing in. And I just gotta say, Archangel reflexes, you know, that circle of oil takes a little time to light all the way around.
I
know. Him.
I probably could have stepped out of that, and I'm not even an Archangel.
I know.
Just be like, oh, you gotta imagine that.
Oh my god, they're trapping
me. Okay, bye
me.
Now.
Yes.
Yeah. But maybe the oil itself, even though it's not burning yet, you know.
But it'd be a sad. Not a good story.
It wouldn't make much
not
of a story.
Story. I don't want that.
Much better story that they get to talk for a while, right? Mm-hmm. A scene about people talking?
I'll be honest, this part I didn't pay much attention to.
I was rearranging
some things.
Raphael is surprised and tells him that God is dead. That's the only explanation for the horrible things that have happened in the 20th and 21st century so far, and God's continuing silence. He suggests that Lucifer is the one who resurrected Castiel, as he now needs more fallen angels. Castiel doesn't believe him, and they leave the now destroyed building. Raphael still trapped in the burning ring of oil.
I fell into a burning.
Yeah, there you go. and I'm not clear. Does Castiel not know why he is back? Is that something?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't know.
So. Okay, that wasn't clear to me that he didn't know why he was back.
Oh.
Okay.
So he's gonna find God. That's his plan, right?
Well, he's gonna find God. Yeah, but. I wasn't clear that he didn't, you know, that he didn't know. Hey, I got smote and now I'm back, and I don't know why. That wasn't spelled out for me at any point, really. Anyways, back at the bar, Sam is questioned by the hunters who have taken Lindsay hostage. Now down to two, as the unexpected numbers of the demons killed their friend. Sam confesses that he was the one who had started the apocalypse, as they had heard from the demons. But the hunters want him to drink a vial of demon blood and wipe out all the demons in the town. After Sam refused...
I was going to ask, did anybody suspect that these guys were actually demons looking for Sam? Mm.
I thought that they might be somehow connected to Lucifer, just because like he shows up later, you know? But I was, like I said, I was just confused by what was going on in general. I didn't get it.
After Sam refuses, he's attacked by Tim, who force feeds him the blood. Sam spits it back in his face and beats them up badly, and they leave. I don't know if Tim.
Badly.
I don't know if Tim was. I don't know if Tim was mentioned by name.
He was tiny.
He was a sorcerer. Some call him
Tim.
Tim.
I did think it was weird that like Lindsay's just gone from the episode. Like, there's no like button to any of that. You know, he doesn't sit down and talk with her about what happened. Like. We just go on to the next scene, and she's gone.
And it was weird.
And the hunters just pretty much leave as well, you know. He beats them up badly, and they leave.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you leave after that?
As it says.
Because he could have killed them. He almost did.
Yeah, he had that knife ready to go. He was ready to kill a person. Mm-hmm. And he had an attack of conscience when looking at Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at his blood-smeared face and wild eyes. Castiel.
Wild ass.
Castiel.
Wild ass.
Wild ass. Castiel and Dean are on the road. Castiel running a shotgun and looking sullen. Dean tells Castiel that he knows a little something about missing fathers, and there were times that he went looking for his dad when all logic said he was dead. But he knew his dad was alive. Dean told Castiel to ignore Raphael and asks what he believes. Castiel replies that he thinks God is still alive, and Dean tells him to go looking for him. Then Castiel asks how Dean is, and Dean replies that although he can't believe it, he's good, really good. He feels happy to finally be away from his family and hasn't laughed as much in the past few years with Sam as he has in the past 24 hours with Castiel. When he looks to the passenger seat, Castiel has gone.
Poof.
Poof.
So it was just before this that they boned?
Yeah, apparently.
Kazoo, where are you? Did you get that feeling ever?
No.
Do you remember Kazoo?
Yeah, I know you've mentioned it before on the podcast.
Have I really?
Yes.
Oh, God. I don't remember anything.
Yes, you called Castiel Kazoo.
No, I called him Bing Bong.
Well, you did that, too.
It's different.
No, you called him Kazoo, too.
Did I?
Yes, you have.
He does. He poofs in and out.
He poofs
like
in
that.
And out. There you go. Sam gets another late night visit from Jessica, who turns out to be Lucifer, disguising himself as Jessica all along. He says that Nick's body was Plan B and his true vessel was supposed to be Sam. He says that eventually, without any trickery or lies on his part, Sam will agree to be his vessel, although Sam adamantly disagrees.
Y'all, maybe they address this and it's another thing that I missed, but how could Lucifer find him if he had that Enochian sigil?
And they do address it somewhat. I mean, basically they've got enough of a connection that he could contact Sam, but he doesn't know where he is. He said
specifically. Yeah, that's because he says specifically he's like, please tell me where you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
So while he's able to contact him and be in his dreams and such, he doesn't know where he is.
All right.
Which has got to be something to do with all of that that yellow eye blood in him.
No, it's the symbols on his ribs.
Yeah.
No.
And bones.
No, what's making him able to contact him at all, I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the I know what's hiding him. I'm just not sure.
Okay.
You know, figuring out a reason why you can contact him at all.
Well, because remember, that's how Castiel first would communicate with Dean. It's just like in his dreams and stuff.
Mm.
And I did appreciate that Lucifer appears to use this. This is his way to go, because it's also how he got to Nick, was by pretending to be the dead wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it thinks that, you know, hey, it worked once. It can work here too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny that he told him, like, I would never lie to you. And it's like, dude, that's all you ever do to people. Like, you're the devil. Like, come on. You know, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to, like, pretend to be somebody else and show up in your dreams.
You
and
Sunday school, you know.
Right.
Now, I mean, what are the parallels? Is Lucifer the devil? Is Lucifer, like, you know, a fallen angel in hell that
you don't know
works with the devil?
No.
No, Lucifer is definitely
Lucifer
the devil.
Is a fallen angel.
Well, I know that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what are you trying to...
What I'm trying to say is there a separate the devil?
No.
Or is Lucifer
no.
the devil?
Same dude.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Beelzebub, Lucifer, the devil, you know. Right. Old scratch.
The devil is basically, Lucifer, and he's just mad at God, and that's why he does the evil things that he does, and that's why he preys on man, because he's jealous of man.
Mm-hmm. Because God's whole thing is that he favored man over over the people that followed
him. Well, Lucifer was his, like, bestie, right? Like,
yep.
Aren't they, like, super tight?
Mm-hmm.
Super tight.
All right,
basically, God is Odin, we're all Thor, and Lucifer is Loki.
All right, then.
I don't think that really holds, yeah. Because, it's just basically,
You know what? No, I'm sticking with it. I'm not going to let you guys take this away from me. I thought it was pretty good.
But to me, it's God owns the company.
Okay.
Lucifer was his right-hand man next in line,
like,
to take
CFO,
over.
Right?
Yeah. And then God's like, no. These humans here, they're going to take it. They're my favorite. I like them. We're going to give them all
them
the bonuses.
Yep,
all the extra stuff. Whatever they want, they get. And Lucifer figures out that I'm never going to take over. And he just cares about them more.
Yeah, I think it's like God is the most popular girl in high school. And Lucifer was the bestie who, like, they would make friendship bracelets together and they, like, really loved each other. And then, watch out, new girl moves to school. It's this loser human. And now God has no time for the old bestie anymore, and Lucifer was kicked to the curb.
I just had vodka out my nose.
Yeah, how are you enjoying that
hurts.
That vodka nasal flush, sinus flush?
It burns so good.
Well, I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, so we've reached the end of the summary, at the end of the episode. They're not really in opposition this week, but we could decide whether one of these guys wins the episode, Sam versus Dean, as we traditionally do.
This is a Dean, right?
I'm thinking.
Dean has the cast advantage, and that's just really unfair.
Right.
Yeah. He has cast to play off of. They're both really good at this one.
Little Mutt and Jeff something going on there.
I mean, you could argue that Sam won in the sense that, like, he you know, denied Lucifer's coercion. He didn't kill those hunters. Blood was in his mouth and he spat it out. You know, he got his mojo back, basically. Like, you know. But I do agree that like that's more of like B story. Like the main A story is more about Castiel and Dean, I think. So I think I'm gonna have to go Dean, because I mean he seems pretty on top of things, and the fact that like he actually manages to find like happiness a little bit, you know, even though he's things are very much up in the air and he's separated from his brother and the apocalypse is upon us, like he managed to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go Dean.
I'll go Dean. For all the reasons that you said and none more that I'm going to elaborate.
Mm-hmm. How much is Dean using Cass in this episode?
Oh, explain. What
as
do you
a
mean?
Substitute for Sam.
Sam.
You know, the last line of the episode is, "I'm happy being alone," and then he looks around and finds himself alone, and that's clearly untrue.
I
don't think it ever occurred to me until just now that he might be kind of using Cass.
I can see that. I don't think he realizes he is.
No.
But yeah, I can totally see that.
I also think he also, you know, does make some sincere effort to bond with this weird bird.
Yeah. So where are we on this? On who's weighed in? Who still needs to weigh in?
I think Darcy's the only one I'm waiting on.
I'll just go Dean. I don't know.
You're just gonna go Dean.
I'm gonna go.
Dean is the winner. Oh, you're giving it a tie.
Tie.
Yeah. Well, Dean still won.
All right. Hey, Nutty, you're the guest, so you get first shot at a quote if you want.
Okay. Where was it? Why are we here? A deputy sheriff laid eyes on an archangel. And he still has eyes? All right, what's the plan? We tell the officer that he witnessed an angel of the Lord, and the officer will tell us where the angel is. You're serious. You're going to walk in there and tell him the truth? Why not? Dean slips an FBI badge into Castiel's inside pocket, fusses with his shirt and tie. By the way, I love these directions. Because we're humans. And when humans want something really, really bad, we lie. Why? Because that's how you become president.
Yep. Has been never more true now than ever.
That's very, very awesome.
And what year was this again? This was still...
This would have been like late 2009?
Something like that, yeah.
Huh. All right, then.
Yeah, September 24th, 2009.
Hmm. Yep.
So not even in an election year.
No.
Just after one, though.
just coming out of one. Could have been written during one, I guess. Not really. Mm. Not really. No.
Mm. No. Although, probably would have been too far back.
Yeah, too far back.
Yeah.
I like Dean just saying, "Eat it, Twilight."
Yes.
All right, that took one that I had written down, so I'll go with, "You were wasted by a Teenage Mutant Ninja Angel."
That was a good one, too. Go ahead.
I have so many written down.
Go.
How about, where have you been? Jerusalem. Oh, how was it? Herod.
Cass, we talked about this. Personal space? My apologies. My favorite thing, by the way, about Castiel is Castiel learning to human.
Yes.
Yeah. I also really like, whoa, last time you zapped me someplace, I didn't poop for a week. We're driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I'm actually surprised Castiel didn't comment on that. Like, I wonder if he knew. Or, like, you know, like, I figure he'd be like, oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry. like maybe he didn't know that it did that to humans.
I'm sure he's sitting there going, huh, I've heard of this pooping thing. It sounds awful.
He's certainly not eating, so.
Mm. I'm warning you, do not leave me here. I will find you. Maybe one day. But today, you're my little bitch.
Yeah.
And then Dean. Yeah, what he said.
I love that Dean is rubbing off on Castiel.
Yep.
Because, like, you know, Castiel would never say something like that, and now he has.
Yeah.
Darcy's up dealing with children again. So,
Man, they just will not go to bed.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on now.
Give him some of that vodka.
And down the stairs.
She's like, it's done. I've murdered them both. We're fine.
Yeah, no, we did the quote section. I know you don't usually have one.
I didn't have quotes. I figured you guys would cover it all.
You know, your kids could come back and listen to this podcast as like, this is what growing up was like.
Yes, they could.
Well, to listen to Iris, we're always podcasting.
Yeah, she's not a fan.
But it's only the once.
I know.
We only have one podcast at a time. As much as we want to start up that Dead Like Me podcast, we're not going to do it.
No, too much on our plate already. We can barely manage what we have going.
Yes.
Well, and especially because Supernatural is never going to end. You're never going to stop podcasting.
Never stop, happen. Never stopping.
Eventually. I mean, what's the longest series ever was? I mean,
Doctor Who?
Yes, the Doctor Who.
Well, it's going to be like SVU. It's going to be on for like 20 years. Yeah,
there was a long hiatus where Doctor Who wasn't produced, and I'm sure anybody that was podcasting currently, but not that there was anybody, but
no.
would have taken some time off and maybe not gotten back together with all the same gang. Who knows?
Quite possibly.
Who knows?
Well, Law and Order has been around for a really long time.
Yes. Well, this would be the feedback section, and you know, for that feedback that we're going to get, I'll just say, here's where it's pacing in.
We did get a small bit of feedback from Heidi. It says, hey guys, first a couple of thoughts on Free to Be You and Me. Dean has some great pop culture references in this one. Twilight, Teenage Mutant, Ninja Angel. I love that Dean knows all these references. I mean, he must watch Netflix all day when they're not killing demons. Thanks, Heidi.
But we don't have any yet.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
That was great feedback.
Do we really sound sincere when we do that?
No. Hey, so it's time to rate. And I could jump on, I guess. I actually wrote a rating. So.
Oh, wow.
I like the episode as Dean is trying out Castiel as a new hunting and mischief partner, while Sam tries to leave it all behind. And I did like that they referenced both, although not necessarily in the same context, they referenced both Kane from Kung Fu and the Incredible Hulk in one episode.
Mm.
And Sam's he's wandering the countryside and encountering people, although he's not necessarily trying to help people. I mean, the first season of the series was more, you know, help wandering the country, helping people.
He didn't call himself David Banner.
Or Michael Knight, for that matter.
No, it didn't.
Substandard reference compared to the other two, in my opinion.
I don't know. At the time that Knight Rider was on, when I was a little girl,
it was
pretty much the bomb.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Or Starman. You remember the Starman TV series? They were trying to set that one up in the same way?
I didn't like that one as much, but I'm telling you.
With Will Wheaton in it?
No. Knight Rider.
Knight Rider, okay. Anyways.
That was my show.
Anyways.
Knight Rider was awesome.
It was.
I almost want Sam to hang around Garber, Oklahoma for one more episode, but, you know, it doesn't fit with the formula, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come into town, help people out, leave. Or come into town, interact with people, leave.
Well, you know, with his hair, he could be the littlest hobo.
Actually, he's a pretty big hobo.
Yeah, well, the really that's big true. Hobo. The biggest hobo.
Pepito, the biggest cat in the whole wide world.
Maybe tomorrow we'll settle down. Yeah.
I mean, not that I don't appreciate season arc stories, but it's kind of fun for now just having Sam, you know, hopefully we're going to go on at least another, you know, couple of episodes where they're apart and Sam is trying to wander the country forgetting everything.
Well, I feel like this is a thing Sam does.
Yeah.
Like, every now and then he's like, no, I'm going to go and do my own thing.
Go to my room then, down.
That is how the show started.
I want to be at Stanford.
I'm running away and I'm not coming back.
And then I'll come back and say how we're really much better together and we're stronger together. But yeah. Each time I'll leave with the same idea. I just can't be around you. I'm in danger.
It's kind of intriguing to think of what Castiel could turn into given enough tutelage by Dean. I wasn't as into the Raphael part of things. I didn't really think it brought enough new to the table aside from the absent father parallel. So I'm going to give this one 8.5 riddles wrapped in enigmas wrapped in tacos.
Delicious.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. I actually liked the juxtaposition of like Sam going on his little soul searching adventure off on his own, and then Dean trying to cope, being away from his brother, while also having his own little excursion with Castiel. Thought that was a lot of fun. I'm going to give this one 8 out of 10 absent fathers.
Okay. I enjoyed it. I like literally laughed. I thought it was, you know, there's some good funny bits. It was good to see the guys out on their own doing their own thing for a little bit. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 drooling vessels.
Oh, that's sad.
Nutty.
I remembered this just basically Dean and Cass. And I kind of wish it was more of that and less of Sam. Sorry. Just because it's a lot more fun. And
it was the more fun part. Yeah.
Yeah, it really was. Like, it's all I really cared about. And every time I saw Sam, I'm like, can I fast forward? No, I'm watching this for the.
Can you just get over it, Sam? No. God.
It was like the story parts of a porn or something, you know? It was like, I don't need that. Let's get past it. So I'm going to give this 8.5 Castiel's first draft humans.
Love it. Annie.
Okay. I think this is a really solid, awesome episode. It felt to me like we got lots of quality time with really all of the main cast, with Dean and Cass and Sam. It's fun and it's funny. It's a really great episode for Cass. He gets a lot of deadpan comedy and development moments. And it also sets up, this is the episode, it's almost kind of lost in the rest of the enjoyment of the episode, but this is the one that sets up the big reveal of the personal apocalypse. The two brothers are, their destiny is to
be vessels,
take center stage as opposite sides of the end of the world. And that's a huge thing, and that's where we're going from here. So it's a lot of, I don't know, it's really great, a lot of fun. Chemistry is awesome. Jared, I thought, was really great at the end with the palpable fear of Lucifer. So I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 personal space issues.
Awesome.
All right. So, sorry to interrupt. Annie reminded me. So newbies, what do you think about Sam being Lucifer's vessel? And can you see that happening?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the actor Jared Padalecki. I think I say his name wrong.
No,
I'm looking forward to him having to be someone else. Like, maybe it'll be good if he's not just like dour butt-faced Sam.
Instead, he'll just be evil.
But that's the thing. Like, actors are always like, it's more fun when they're evil, you know? So like, hopefully him evil will be more fun.
Gotta play the evil person or play the crazy person.
play evil and crazy.
That's the sound of me biting my lip.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what has to transpire for the argument to become persuasive, but I can see it's eventually Sam, you know, giving in somehow. I don't know what has to happen in the meantime, but
I think I've been spoiled, so I'm not gonna talk.
All right.
Okay.
It does seem to be another thing Sam does. I'm never going to do this. And then somehow it seems like the right idea.
So what ratings does that give us for this episode?
Well, I haven't rated yet, so let me tell you.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
I thought it was fine. I enjoyed it. I like seeing Sam and Dean apart better, I think, than together. And I like that Dean had someone else to play off of this episode. I thought it worked really well. And I just like him and Cass together. Too. This one gets and also I liked that part of this episode took place on the East Coast. That was a nice change. We weren't in the Midwest for once, thank God. So 7.5 out of 10 separate vacations. That gives this episode an 8.08, which is solid. Very good. Just as high as It's a Terrible Life from last season. Or Monster Movie.
Yay. I hope. Yes.
So yeah, it's doing really well. One of the top three for the past couple seasons. So right. Good job. Cool.
Great.
Nice.
Hey, Nani, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll give thanks, you
the, fun.
We'll give you the courtesy of allowing you to plug anything you want to promote coming up.
You can find my podcast, the Nutty Bites podcast, and all the other things that you can do to stalk me by going to nimlas.org, NIMLAS.org. And the next episode that is coming out within a couple of days, as soon as I finish editing it, will be Mental Health in Fiction, which is an episode I'm very excited about, where I had Claire LaFar and Annie Luke come on, and we discussed representation of various aspects of mental health in fiction and why it's important, and why it's important to get it right and not horribly wrong. So it should be a awesome. Lot of fun. Yeah.
I'm
it was a really good talk.
Cool. Very good. And again, thank you. Hey, John, what is our homework for next week?
Next week's homework, and this is just the title, so don't get excited, is Season 5, Episode 4, The End. And now we'll be doing it. Yeah.
Bye.
We'll be doing a Noobinary for that.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, I don't have a whole lot more to say. It feels kind of late. So I think just on behalf of everybody, unless anybody else has anything, I have to say happy hunting.
See y'all later.
Happy hunting.
Bye.
Welcome to the promo for a new podcast called The Big Bad Buffy Podcast. We will be interviewing all of the actors, writers, and directors who worked on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So if you know any, by all means, let them know we're doing this. Our first episode is going to appear right here on Halloween 10/31/16, and it will be an hour-long interview with Christine Sutherland, who played Joyce Summers, Buffy's mother, for 7 years, give or take a death or two. And she shares so much from the series about working with everyone, and you are really going to change your opinion of whatever you think of Joyce Summers in the way that she portrayed the character and what was in her mind as an actress. It's a really personal, great interview and a great start for us. We've recorded 6 other interviews, so they will be coming. So we want you to subscribe here at either iTunes or Hipcast or wherever you're accessing this. We are on Twitter at Buffy History. We're on Facebook at Big Bad Buffy Interview Podcast. and we will be posting all kinds of good stuff. I am one of your hosts, Scott Ryan. We also have David Bushman, who works at the Paley Center in New York. He's written a great book called The Twin Peaks FAQ. He's working on a Buffy book now. I run the Red Room podcast as well as the 30-something podcast, and also do a book about 30-something that will be coming out in 2017. So we will be using our television experience to talk about Buffy and interview the actors, writers, and directors. Please subscribe, share, and come back here on Halloween for our first episode.
You've been listening to IdgitCast from QuadrupleZ.com. Join the discussion at Facebook.com/IdgitCast. We love feedback. You can email us or send us an MP3 voice message. Please use the episode title as your subject line to prevent accidental spoilers. Our email address is IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. The theme song for IdgitCast is by Borrowed Trouble. Find the band at BorrowedTrouble.com. Lyrics and vocals by IdgitCast's founder, Allie Jones, who you can find out all about at imthewonderband.com. The closing music you hear right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan, and is used by permission. You can find other music, writings, and discussions by Jack, as well as back episodes of his own Deadpan podcast at jackmangan.com. You can hear more from the hosts of this show. Yvette can be heard as one of the hosts of Investigating Mars, an intro cast for the TV series Veronica Mars, also available from quadruplez.com. John Pavlich can be heard on CastleCast, a fan cast for the ABC series Castle at castlecast.net, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Now you can also watch the Sofa Dogs YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/sofadogs.
Annie is currently acting as global coordinator for Can't Stop the Serenity, a worldwide series of charity screenings of Joss Whedon's Serenity, benefiting Equality Now. For more information on Can't Stop the Serenity, including event listings and how to host an event, visit www.can'tstoptheserenity.com.
Darcy and I can also be heard on the Ghostlight podcast, an intercast for the television series Slings and Arrows, also featured on quadruplez.com.
We lost Nutty.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. It was funny. You said, now down to two.
Now down to two. Now reduced in number. We'll take a second here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll wait. That's good. I need to plug my computer in anyway, so I should walk it to the next room.
Can't help it.
That's right.
Now I got it in my head. That's like going to be in my head for 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had like for the last like 5 days, Ministries Every Day is Halloween in my head.
Oh.
Yes.
What a good song.
I love that song.
Which is, you know, it's not a problem really. I haven't had a problem with having it stuck in my head yet.
No.
Well, immediately I always get like thing dumped stuck in my head that I don't want.
Yeah. I think it's because at the Double Meat Palace, we've got the Halloween gift.
You know what? That's the first thing I'm going to do when we're done here is I'm going to go over to YouTube and I'm going to listen to the extended 12-inch mix of that song.
There you go.
When I was in high school, my sister worked at a record store and she would always get me the newest 12-inch mixes of everything.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah.
Are they still somewhere at your dad's house, mostly?
I got a lot of them there, yeah.
Because I know that, like, you got, like, a new order one or two upstairs.
I got a couple here, but most of them are at dad's house.
Okay.
That's cool.
I know. That was really nice of her. I think she kind of hated me at that point, but she knew that I really liked that she could do that.
It's a power over you, right?
She had a lot of power over
me.
There you go. Her whole life.
I'm still special.
Whoop. What's going on? Nettie says, I can't hear anything.
She doesn't know that she's been disconnected.
She's got to add herself to the call again.
Oh, maybe I need to add,
try to add her.
Oh, she's Skype crashed, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We'll try to get her back in. Add. She's right. Da. Add.
We'll try that. See if that works.
Stuck. Just stuck. It's going to be days.
Snakes and lizards and other things that go bump in the night.
Bop, bop.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Nada, you're back?
I am back.
Yay!
Awesome.
I don't know what happened, but everything went weird.
All right. Well, we took a little break. That
yeah.
Some of that might end up back in there, because I still want to I want to share that I have the song stuck in my head.
Oh, okay.
Well. Who knows? We'll work that out later.
At least it's not Tijuana Brass. That really gets stuck in your head.
Thanks.
Uh-oh. Darcy's got Johnny Cash. You now have Tijuana Brass. And I've still got Ministry, so there you go.
Yep, that's the one I'm sticking to.